This is the NC State Tripartisan Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now here's your host for the NC State Tripartisan Podcast from InsidePacSports.com, James Henderson.
Welcome back to the latest edition of the Tripartisan NC State Podcast. And tonight we're going to talk NC State basketball, men's and women's. A lot going on right now. I'm actually, as I take this, I'm watching the NC State women play, and we'll start there. The Wolfpack are on the road at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is 3-14 on the season, 0-6 overall. And look, if anybody knows anything about Wes Moore and the NC State women Wolfpack, what they do is they don't lose games like this. I mean, games they're supposed to win against, you know, underdog teams, they generally, 9 times out of 10, they're going to win those games. And here we are late in the third quarter, and NC State's up 30 on the road at Pitt. I mean, just a really, again, another workmanlike performance by the Wolfpack women, just doing what they need to do to take care of business. They will be moving to 18-1 overall, 7-1 in ACC play. Clearly one of the top teams in the country, ranked number eight in the country right now. They're solidly in the top 10 nationally and just doing a great job. I mean, they put themselves in a position to compete for the ACC title, which we talked about coming into the year was going to be the goal. And they're right there. I mean, Louisville is a game ahead. Louisville is 7-0 on the season in the ACC, 18-1 overall. And NC State hasn't had a chance to face Louisville yet. They'll get them later in the year, middle of February. And that's going to be a big game for the Wolfpack. But right now, taking care of business on the road at Pittsburgh. And what I like about this team for Wes Moore, they just have a ton of different options. It's kind of similar to the men's team. I mean, they have multiple scoring threats. They have size. They have perimeter shooting. They have girls who can make plays off the dribble. They have multiple girls who can hit shots from outside, which gives them a lot of explosiveness offensively. I mean, this was a game that was 38-30 at halftime, and here it is 68-34. So they outscored Pittsburgh 30-4 in the third quarter. That's how you win a game. That's how you go on the road and seize control and win a game, is just come out of halftime and dominate like that. And they're led by sophomore center Alisa Cunane, one of the top centers in the country. In my opinion, she's the best post player in the ACC. She leads the league right now in double-doubles. She's on her way to another double-double. The only thing that'll probably stop her tonight is a minutes, you know, with it being a blowout. Maybe she doesn't play enough in the fourth quarter to get that double-double. But she's well on her way as we're taping this. She's 10 points, 8 rebounds. So she's doing her job. And this is just a really well-balanced team. And we talked about it on the last podcast. You know, they were able to kind of rebound from that game against North Carolina with a big win over Notre Dame on the road. And then they came back to town the following week, last week, and they had two big wins, a 17-point win over Florida State, who was ranked number 13th in the country at the time, and then a 14-point win over Wake Forest in Raleigh, which was a game that I thought State didn't play well in that game. I mean, they should have won that game by more, and I think it's encouraging, again, to go on the road and play like this after a performance like that against Wake Forest. It's kind of similar to how they bounce back from the loss to North Carolina on the road at Notre Dame. And so State's going to get a chance, though, for redemption against North Carolina this week. They host the Tar Heels on Sunday in Reynolds Coliseum at 6 p.m. It's going to be a big game for NC State. Obviously, it's a big game for North Carolina. It's a chance for State to avenge their only loss on the season and really their last home game before a kind of a long road stretch. I mean, they've got 3 straight road games after that. So this is going to be a chance for them to get a win before going on the road, kind of like the men's basketball team would do. So Wes Moore's girls are rolling right now. The Wolfpack women, 18-1 overall, 7-1 in conference play, and will be ranked in the top 10 nationally. Let's talk men hoops. It's been a really a whirlwind week for the NC State men's basketball program. A lot of things going well, probably since the last time we taped. I don't remember exactly, you know, where we were from a discussion standpoint last week when we taped the podcast. But if you go back to last week, I mean, NC State's been taking care of business. Middle of the week, they were able to get the win on Wednesday night against Miami, 80-63. Came back and beat Clemson on Saturday in Raleigh, 60-54. And then they were able to go to Virginia and get a big road win on Monday night, 53-51, to string together three straight road wins and put them at 5-3 in the conference, tied for fourth in the league with Virginia Tech and Syracuse. I mean, this is where you want to be. I mean, if you're NC State, you want to be right there in that top four to where you can maybe get that double bye. I mean, I think historically your chances of winning the ACC tournament drastically go up if you can get that double bye now that the league has expanded. And so that's the goal. The goal is to finish in the top four in the league. Right now, I think they're a game and a half out of first behind Louisville and Florida State. And so, you know, there's still work to be done, but they've got a chance to really start to string together some quality outings. And I thought, you know, if you go and look at the last three wins, I mean, to me, the common denominator, and this is kind of what I based my column on this week for the Tripartisan, was NC State's defense really has stepped up the last 3 weeks. I mean, our last three games. I think the defense has keyed the Wolfpack's wins over that stretch. And a lot of it has been the team, you know, this team really kind of settling down and hunkering down in half court defense and getting stops. You know, you go back to the Miami game, NC State held Miami to just 63 points, 36.4% shooting from the field, just 3 of 16 from 3-point range. You know, they were able to win that game comfortably. A home game against Clemson, you know, limiting Clemson to 54 points after allowing 81 a few weeks earlier in Little John Coliseum. You know, I thought State won that game with their defense. You know, held Clemson to 37% shooting, just 25% from the field on 3-point field goals. So, again, another stellar performance. And then maybe their best defensive performance of the year, going on the road to face Virginia. Now, granted, Virginia's limited offensively, but still, you got to go on the road and take care of business. And NC State was able to do that, winning that game 53-51, holding Virginia to 51 points, just 36% shooting for Virginia and just 25% from three as well. 3 of 12 from 3-point range. So State's really started to defend better, and no surprise, it's led to three straight wins. Now, the offense hasn't been what it had been earlier in the year, and some of that's you're playing better defenses. You know, all three of the teams we talked about that they've played here recently, Miami, Clemson, and Virginia, all really kind of, you know, they weigh defense a lot. So those were going to be games where State was going to have to really try and counter that with solid defense as well, especially the last two games. You know, against Miami, State scored 80, so offensively they were there. But against Clemson, where they scored 60, and then against Virginia, where they scored 53, to win those games, they had to win it with their defense. And they were able to do that, and that's encouraging going forward, because I know NC State fans have said they voiced, at least on our forums, on social media, that they want to see NC State become a better defensive team. And I think they're on their way to doing that. They've strung together now three straight really good defensive performances, and they've led to wins. And I think the offense will pick itself back up as you get going back here on the schedule. But this Saturday at Georgia Tech is going to be another big test for NC State, because you're going to be going on the road to face a Georgia Tech team that earlier in the year scored 82 on you in PNC Arena. So that they were scoring, and so can NC State put together another big defensive performance? I think the key is, where are they going to be at from a health standpoint? You know, I thought going to Virginia was going to be tough to win without Manny Bates and Pat Andre. NC State had to play without both of those guys, left it, put them down to essentially a 7-man rotation. And luckily, you know, with Virginia's ineptitude offensively, I mean, it wasn't as big of a loss as I thought it was going to be. I mean, State was able to play defense really without fouling. They got in foul trouble late, at least DJ Funderburk did. But outside of Funderburk, you know, everybody else generally didn't play with a lot of foul trouble. And so they were able to play defense. They played more of a half-court style defense. They didn't pressure a lot with the lower numbers. And because Virginia's not really equipped to take advantage of defenses right now from an offensive standpoint, I thought State was able to get out of there with a win. I don't think that's going to be the case against Georgia Tech. I think Georgia Tech's a much better offensive team than Virginia. I think they're a better offensive team than Clemson. And so I think for State, this is going to be a real test for their defense and where it's at right now. Because I think when you look at Georgia Tech, they've got a really good point guard in Jose Alvarado, an upperclassman who gets his team in their right offensive sets, is really good at getting in the paint and finding teammates for shots. They've got good wing scoring in Jordan Usher and Michael DeVoe. Both of those guys are capable scorers on the wing. And DeVoe was really good in the first matchup in PNC Arena. He was, I thought, Georgia Tech's best player in that game. And then they've got guys who can score on the block when you look at James Banks and then Raleigh native, the Wright kid. I mean, Moses Wright, both of those kids are capable scorers on the block. Wright can stretch you out to the 3-point line and drive. So they've got weapons. And I think this is going to be a big test for NC State. I think it's going to be interesting to see if Bates and Andre are back. You know, at media availability this week, Kevin Keats said that both of the guys are questionable for the game. He mentioned that Bates was out of concussion protocol, which is good news, and hadn't been having any symptoms. He said he did not practice on Thursday. Not sure if he's going to play. You know, I think it's going to be interesting to see how State handles that, because they've got that quick turnaround for the game against North Carolina on Monday. And so maybe you see State just not risk it. But I'm telling you, like, if it's me, I mean, I think every game matters. And if those guys are able to play, I know you want to get that North Carolina win, but frankly, right now, I think Georgia Tech's a better team than North Carolina. I think playing Georgia Tech on the road is different than playing North Carolina at home. And so I think if you've got those guys available to you, especially when you look at the size that Georgia Tech has up front and the pressure they can put on your front court with Banks and Wright, you want to have Manny Bates available for that game. You do. Because this could be a game where very easily you could see DJ Funderburk go out early and get into foul trouble. And that would be concerning. And Bates is just a difference maker. I mean, right now he leads the ACC in block shots per game at 2.9 as a redshirt freshman. I mean, he's been really, really good as a rim protector. That doesn't include the multiple shots he alters each night. You know, he's just a guy that teams are now leery of when they drive the paint, and that helps your defense. It really does. I mean, it impacts the types of shots teams are taking. And I think he's really good in terms of his low post defense as well, where if you go and look at his metrics, I mean, he's a very, very good low post defender, which they'll need against guys like Wright and Banks, who will look to post you up at times for Georgia Tech. So I think if those guys are able to play, if I'm Kevin Keats, I'm playing them. I'm not holding them out for North Carolina. I think this Georgia Tech game's huge. You know, you don't want to be swept by the Yellow Jackets. You know, you want to go and get that win and kind of keep that momentum going, because I think if you can go down to Georgia Tech, find a way to win that game and then get back to PNC Arena on Monday night at 6-3, that place is going to be rocking. That place is going to be rocking. I think Carolina would be walking into a hornet's nest. And so if you're State, the goal is to do that. I mean, the goal is to go to Georgia Tech and get a win. And I think it's going to be – personally, I think it's going to be difficult to win that game playing a seven-man rotation. I really do, just because I think Georgia Tech's a much better offensive team than Virginia, and they're going to stress NC State out defensively. Offensively, it's going to be a challenge for NC State as well. Georgia Tech's multiple in how they try to defend you. You know, they'll play some man. They like to run some matchup zone, some 1-3-1 zone. They do a lot of things differently from a defensive standpoint to where they try and stress you out. So it's not going to be an easy game on the offensive end as well for NC State. So they're going to have to find a way to counter Georgia Tech's defense. And really, it's going to come down to I think, guys making plays and making shots and who can create and can State get back to hitting 3-point shots. You know, I thought against Virginia, offensively, the key to that game was in the second half. State went 5-for-9 from three, and Virginia was just 1-of-4. You know, I thought that won the game for NC State. I mean, when you look at the way that game played out, State's ability to hit threes with multiple guys, too. I mean, State finished that game with 5 made threes by four different players. And none of them were Pat Andre and Braxton Beverly, which is what they normally do. Obviously, Andre didn't play. Beverly only took one shot in that game. So State's got 5-6 guys who can beat you from 3-point range, and that's difficult. I mean, it's no one really for the defense to key on. You know, I think they found a really good rhythm right now offensively. They're in a situation where you see them early in games try to get DJ Funderburk going, try to get out and run in transition. And then late in games, it's going to be Markel Johnson and CJ Bryce trying to seal the deal. I mean, both of those guys are very, very good one-on-one playmakers, capable of creating for themselves, capable of creating for others. And so you'll see late in games, Kevin Keats is going to put the ball in their hands and ask those two guys to go make plays for him. And I thought they did that against Virginia. I mean, you go back and look at that Virginia game. NC State was down 4 points going into the last 4 minutes. And normally in that situation, after blowing an 11-point lead, NC State folds. And this team didn't. This team rebounded. Jericho Helms hit a big three. Very next possession, Markell Johnson hit a big three. Helms had a scramble rebound putback that put NC State up three. And then with about 30 seconds left, I thought C.J. Bryce hit the biggest shot of the game, a mid-range jump shot right at the shot clock buzzer to give NC State a five-point lead with 27 seconds left and really put Virginia in a tough situation to try to win that game. But it just came down to State making shots and having different playmakers that can make plays for them on the road. And if they can go on the road and do that again at Georgia Tech, that'll be big, because the upcoming schedule for NC State is not easy at all. I mean, this stretch coming up is going to really define their season. When you look at, you know, you've got this Georgia Tech game on the road, then you've got two at home, but it's against North Carolina and Louisville. I mean, those are two tough teams. Louisville's ranked in the top 10 in the country. I know North Carolina's struggling this year, but every time NC State plays them, they're going to pay NC State tough. So that's not going to be an easy game either. And then NC State goes back on the road for three straight road games at Miami, at Syracuse, at Boston College, before coming back home with Duke and Florida State, arguably two of the top three teams in the league. So these next eight games, they're going to decide the season for NC State. This eight-game stretch coming up is going to decide if NC State's going to have a double bye or not, because it lightens up a little bit down the stretch, not a lot. It lightens up a little bit. You've got North Carolina and Duke still on the road, but you do get Pittsburgh and Wake Forest at home. So can they find a way to navigate through this eight-game stretch coming up and pick up four, five, six wins? I think that's going to be the key. I mean, that's going to be the key for NC State. Can they find a way to navigate through this eight-game stretch and pick up four, five, six wins and put themselves in a position to get that double bye? But it all starts with Georgia Tech. And it really started these last three games, where NC State rebounded from a 2-3 start in league play to now be 5-3 overall in the conference, and currently sitting at that tied for fourth in the ACC. So we'll have plenty more coverage next week on the Tripartisan Podcast. We'll talk NC State basketball, may have a little football news as well. NC State's looking to finalize their staff. They've got an opening with Aaron Henry moving on to Vanderbilt. They've got an opening for a defensive assistant, so we'll have some more news on that likely as well, and maybe some recruiting news. But really, I think the big thing we'll probably be talking about next week is going to be how that first rivalry game went against North Carolina. That's often the big game for NC State, and NC State fans is playing North Carolina at home, and that game will be held Monday night. So we'll be able to talk about that as well. So if you're looking for my column, again, my column this week will be about NC State's defense and how that kind of keyed this three-game winning streak. It'll be available at WRELSportsFan.com. You can find it under the Tripartisan tab. And also, I have it on my website, InsidePackSports.com, where you can find a download link for it there as well. So for this edition of the Tripartisan NC State Podcast, my name is James Henderson. Make sure you join me again next time.
You've been listening to the NC State Tripartisan Podcast with host from InsidePackSports.com, James Henderson. Don't forget, there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL SportsFan app, and you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. Thanks again for listening to the NC State Tripartisan Podcast.